ದೈವಾಸುರ ಸಂಪದ್ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗೋ ನಾಮ ಷೋಡಶೋಧ್ಯಾಯ ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೇ ನಮಃ. ದೈವಾಸುರ ಸಂಪದ್ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗೋ ನಾಮ ಷೋಡಶೋಧ್ಯಾಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನುವಾಚ. ಅಭಯಂ ಸತ್ವ ಸಂಶುದ್ಧಿಃ ಜ್ಞಾನಯೋಗ ವ್ಯವಸ್ಥಿತಿಃ ದಾನಂ ದಮಶ್ಚ ಯಜ್ಞಶ್ಚ ಸ್ವಾಧ್ಯಾಯಸ್ತಪ ಆರ್ಜವಂ. ದಾನಂ ದಮಶ್ಚ ಯಜ್ಞಶ್ಚ ಸ್ವಾಧ್ಯಾಯಸ್ತಪ ಆರ್ಜವಂ. ಐ ವಾಂಟ್ ಯು ಟು ರೀಡ್ ಫ್ಯೂ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್. ವಿಲ್ ಸಿ. ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನುವಾಚ. ಅಭಯಂ ಸತ್ವ ಸಂಶುದ್ಧಿಃ ಜ್ಞಾನಯೋಗ ವ್ಯವಸ್ಥಿತಿಃ ದಾನಂ ದಮಶ್ಚ ಯಜ್ಞಶ್ಚ ಸ್ವಾಧ್ಯಾಯಸ್ತಪ ಆರ್ಜವಂ. ಅಹಿಂಸಾ ಸತ್ಯಮಕ್ರೋಧಃ ತ್ಯಾಗಶಾಂತಿರಪೈಶುನಂ. ಅಹಿಂಸಾ ಸತ್ಯಮಕ್ರೋಧಃ ತ್ಯಾಗಶಾಂತಿರಪೈಶುನಂ. ದಯಾಭೂತೇಶ್ವಲೋಲುಪ್ತ್ವಂ ಮಾರ್ದವಂ ಹ್ರೀರಚಾಪಲಂ. ದಯಾಭೂತೇಶ್ವಲೋಲುಪ್ತ್ವಂ ಮಾರ್ದವಂ ಹ್ರೀರಚಾಪಲಂ. ಅಹಿಂಸಾ ಸತ್ಯಮಕ್ರೋಧಃ ತ್ಯಾಗಶಾಂತಿರಪೈಶುನಂ. ದಯಾಭೂತೇಶ್ವಲೋಲುಪ್ತ್ವಂ ಮಾರ್ದವಂ ಹ್ರೀರಚಾಪಲಂ. ತೇಜಃ ಕ್ಷಮಾಧೃತಿಶೌಚಂ. ತೇಜಃ ಕ್ಷಮಾಧೃತಿಶೌಚಂ. ಅದ್ರೋಹೋ ನಾತಿ ಮಾನಿತ. ಅದ್ರೋಹೋ ನಾತಿ ಮಾನಿತ. ಭವಂತಿ ಸಂಪದಂ ದೈವೀಂ ಅಭಿಜಾತಸ್ಯ ಭಾರತ. ತೇಜಃ ಕ್ಷಮಾಧೃತಿಶೌಚಂ. ಅದ್ರೋಹೋ ನಾತಿ ಮಾನಿತ. ಭವಂತಿ ಸಂಪದಂ ದೈವೀಂ ಅಭಿಜಾತಸ್ಯ ಭಾರತ. ಆಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ 16th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್. ಷೋಡಶ ಅಧ್ಯಾಯ 16th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ದಿ ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವೆಲ್ತ್. ದಿ ವೆಲ್ತ್, ದಿ ಡಿವೈನ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ಡೆಮನಿಕ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್. ದೈವೀ ಸಂಪತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಸುರಿ ಸಂಪತ್. The divine attributes, the divine nature, which will enable a person prepare his mind, which will enable a person attain the knowledge, thereby accomplish, which will enable a person accomplish the absolute end, moksha, is considered to be the tremendous wealth of the righteous person. But the person of demonic nature, whose nature, whose conduct, whose behavior, whose activities will degrade, will prevent him from accomplishing the absolute end. Not only it will not help him, enable him accomplish the ultimate end, but it will retain him. Not only it will retain him, it will even degrade him from, he may have to lose even the already has some stand where he is. So that is Asuri Sampat. As I said already, not only Asuri Sampat, we have to include one more thing, that is Rakshasi Sampat. So Bhagavan discusses what is Rakshasi Sampat, what is Asuri Sampat, and what is Daivi Sampat. If you understand what is the wealth of a person of righteous nature, righteous conduct, righteous behavior, what is the wealth of the asuric, the person of asuric nature, demonic nature, we understand, we can also convert ourselves. In understanding, we can make out what is, whether we are endowed with demonic wealth or divine wealth. If we come to know that we are endowed with only demonic wealth, then we can try to get rid of it and we can try to own the divine wealth. So the first three, Bhagavan just opens his teaching here. The very first three verses, he first says, what is the sampadam, daivim sampadam, abhijatasya bharata. The person of divine nature is endowed with the divine wealth in terms of all these, enumerated in these three verses. Abhayam sattvasam shuddhihi jnana yoga vyavasthitihi danam damascha yajnascha swadhyayastapa arjavam ahimsa satyamakrodha tyagashantirapaishunam dayabhuteshvaloluptvam mardavam hrirachapalam tejaha kshamadhritishaucham adroho natimanita bhavanti sampadam daivim abhijatasya bharata. So Bhagavan addresses Arjuna, the third verse. Hey Bharata, Arjuna, daivim sampadam bhavanti, sampadam bhavati abhijatasya. So these are the traits of a person of divine nature. What are they? Let us see one by one from the beginning. First he says, abhayam. Abhayam, bhayam is fear. Abhayam is fearlessness. Just let us understand literal meaning first. Then, sattva samshuddhihi. Sattvam means mind. Shuddhihi means cleanliness or purity. Samshuddhihi means absolute mental purification or mental purity. Sattva samshuddhihi. Then, jnana yoga vyavasthitihi. Jnana yoga vyavasthitihi. Vyavasthitihi means sthitihi, avasthitihi, viavasthitihi, vyavasthitihi. Vyavasthitihi is a very powerful word. Vyavasthitihi means firmness, steadfastness, ascertainment in jnanam and yoga. Jnana yoga vyavasthitihi. Having steadfastness in knowledge and yoga is said to be jnana yoga vyavasthitihi. Having steadfastness or firmness in the clear vision is jnanam, clear steadfastness in knowledge and yoga. Jnana yoga vyavasthitihi. We'll elaborate later on. I want to get the right translation of each word. Then danam. Danam is a gerund of the root da. Danam means giving. So giving. Giving implies here what? The being charitable or charity. Danam, it is giving, sharing, charity. The next is damaha. Abhayam sattvashuddham shuddhihi jnana yoga vyavasthitihi, number 3. Number 4, danam. Number 5, damaha. See, damaha also we have learned Hatha Bodha class very well, clearly. Damaha is master, having mastery over sense organs, or mastery over all organs of knowledge and actions. Damaha is mastery over sense organs. It is very easy to be a slave of our sense organs. But it's a discipline. Constantly practicing this discipline, one can have mastery over sense organs, which is said to be Dhamaha. Then, we have to put Shamaha, we'll see later on. Dhamaha. Then here, he instead of saying Shamaha, he uses the term Yajnaha. Yajnaha is worship. If a person has the habit of worshipping, respecting, Yajnaha means the person is given to the discipline of worshipping. Yajnaha. Yajnaha is a worship. Then Swadhyayaha. Swadhyayaha means Swadhyayaha means literally it can be translated as a self-study. But this should not be taken as self-study. Swadhyayaha implies repeatedly studying on one's own what has been already taught by the teacher. So study of what? Study of the Shastram. Studying the subject matter of the Shastram. Studying the subject matter of the Shastram from original text or from the Shruti or Smriti or from Prakranas. Swadhyayaha means studying on one's own what has been already taught by the teacher. The subject matter of studying on one's own, subject matter of the Shastram taught by the teacher is Swadhyayaha. It can be chanting, it can be meaning of the chanting also. So I said subject matter. Then tapaha. Tapaha means penance. Tapaha is austerity. What is tapas? What does the word austerity mean? We'll see later on. We'll understand literal meaning first. Tapaha, austerity. Then arjavam. Arjavam means rijata, which is nobility. Being noble is said to be nobility, arjavam. Otherwise said to be straightforwardness, which means having the thought, word and deed in alignment. So integration of thought, word and deed is said to be straightforwardness, nobility, which is arjavam. Then ahimsa. Ahimsa is non-hurting, non-injury, non-violence is ahimsa. Then satyam. Satyam, the word satyam has different contextual meanings, but here satyam is taken as truthfulness in speech. Truthfulness in speech, satyam. Then akrodaha. Krodaha means anger. Akrodaha, which is the second verse, it comes, now we move on to second verse. Akrodaha. We move on to second verse. Akrodaha. Ahimsa, satyam, akrodaha. Akrodaha means absence of anger or mastery over anger. Krodaha, anger. Akrodaha. Then akrodaha. So, krodaha, na krodaha, akrodaha. So, the capacity to manage one's anger, mastery over one's anger, or capacity to manage one's anger is akrodaha. See, one cannot be totally free from angry. Only in jnanam, anger will resolve for good. Until jnanam, there will be a certain degree of anger. Always anger will be there in all minds, naturally. So, akrodaha implies mastery over one's anger or capacity to manage one's anger is akrodaha. Then, tyagaha. Tyagaha is another word for sannyasaha. Tyagaha means dedication, sacrifice. All these words are there. But tyagaha should be taken as renunciation, giving up. then shantihi actually means shamaha. Shantihi should be taken as shamaha. Shantihi is a feminine gender word. Shamaha is a masculine gender word. So shantihi literally means peace, tranquility, serenity. So shamaha implies mastery over one's mind. Shantihi means tranquility, peace and serenity, which implies shamaha, mastery over one's mind. If you have mastery over your mind, then you are a tranquil person. If you don't have mastery over your mind, you'll be a restless person. Then apaishunam, I'm going to tell you literal meanings. Apaishunam. See, pishunata, paishunam means slander. Some sort of, it's a type of jealousy only. Apaishunam means, you know, being free from slander or avoiding slander is apaishunam. Then bhuteshu daya. Daya means compassion. So compassion towards all beings, being compassionate towards all beings, being kind to all beings is bhuteshu daya. Then aloluptvam. Loluptvam, alolupata. Loluptam means, you know, having weakness towards things, having weakness towards objects of pleasures. Having weakness means easily getting tempted by objects of pleasures or desires is called lolupata. Craving for objects of pleasures is called lolupata. Aloluptvam means being free from temptation for objects of pleasures. Being free from craving for objects of pleasures is aloluptvam. Then mardavam. Mardavam is a beautiful word. Mriduta. Mriduta is called mardavam. Mardava means softness. Mriduta. Mardava means softness, gentleness. Even sort of politeness. Mardavam is a gentleness and softness. Then hrihi. Hrihi means being modest. Being modest or modesty is meant by the word hrihi. Then chapalam means, chapalaha means a restless person. Chapalam means being restless. Achapala means being free from agitation. Unagitatedness or being free from restlessness is achap, not being restless. Achapala means being free from restlessness, agitation or unagitatedness. Then tejaha. Tejaha has so many meanings. Tejas, sakaradra, pusakalingi shabda. Tejas means brilliance. Tejas means brightness. Tejas means cleverness. Tejas means heat, fire. But tejas here means brilliance, smartness, brightness. Then kshama. Kshama means forbearance, tolerance, endurance, patience. Kshama means endurance, tolerance, forbearance, patience. Then dhritihi. Dhritihi means firmness, fortitude, resolve. Dhritihi is a feminine gender word. Fortitude, resolve, firmness. Shaucham. Shaucham is cleanliness. Cleanliness, purity. Then adrohaha. You can see all the words given in all first three verses. Adrohaha. Because only we read all three verses, we get the complete meaning. Adrohaha. Drohaha means ill will. Adrohaha means not having an ill will. Non-betrayal. Non-betrayal. Absence of ill will. Being free from ill will is adrohaha. Na atimanita. Manita means arrogance. Atimanita means aggrandizement, arrogance. Na atimanita means absence of self-aggrandizement implies humility. Absence of arrogance. Natimanita, absence of arrogance means humility. Humility. Then all these, we have seen literally, all these bhavanti. All these are there. Bhavanti means santi. Ete sarve santi. Ete gunaha santi. All these are there for whom? All these are there for a person who is born. Abhijataha. Jataha, born. Abhijataha, born. Abhijatasya, all these qualities are there for a person who is born. Who is born with bond? All these are there on the part of, all these are there for the person. All these are there, as in the qualities of the person who is born. Daivim sampadam abhijatasya. See, daivim sampadam abhijatasya means daivi sampada abhijatasya, it must have been. It could have been also. But daivim sampadam abhijatasya. For the person who is born with this divine nature, divine wealth. Daivim sampadam abhijataha means, repeating, daivim sampadam, daivi sampad. Daivim sampadam abhijataha is the person who is born with the divine wealth. Abhijataha. Who is the person who is born with divine wealth? Only the person who is endowed with this. All these qualities. The person who, these qualities are there for a person. Whoever is endowed with these qualities, he alone is said to be born with a divine wealth. Daivim sampadam abhijataha purushaha kaha. The question comes. So, daivim sampadam abhijataha purushaha kaha yaha yetan gunan praptavan asti. So whoever is endowed with these qualities is said to be born with a divine wealth. Daivim sampadam abhijataha. So daivim sampadam abhijatasya yete gunaha bhavanti. All these qualities are there for the person who is born with daivi sampad. Okay, now we have seen the contents of all three verses together in one, as one information. Why? Because we have to read all three verses together to understand. Bhagavan presents or enumerates the qualities, the nature of the person, enumerates the list of qualities of the person who is born with the divine wealth, Daivi Sampath. Now, let us see. One by one now, we have to see that. Abhayam. Abhayam sattvasam shuddhihi. Please take this class as memorizing all this Daivi Sampath. Abhayam. See, fearlessness implies bravery. Fearlessness implies courage. Fearlessness implies also self-confidence. So being endowed with the self-confidence, being endowed with the courage, being endowed with the bravery alone is said to be being endowed with fearlessness. It is not confidence in one's own self. So faith in one's own self. Our Shastram emphasizes, it is very, see, people who are born and brought up in this Vedic tradition or even some other cultures, always they train from childhood, children are told to have faith in Bhagavan. Children are taught to have faith in elders, faith in elders' teachings and faith in Mahatma's teachings, faith in the Shastram. Have faith in what parents say. Have faith in what elders say. Have faith in what Bhagavan. Have faith in Dharma. Always we've been on all different cultures also, they must be teaching this. I don't know. But definitely, this is all children are taught from childhood when they're born in this Indian background also. But here, Shastram says, faith in anything will be effective, useful, only if a person has faith in one's own self. If there is no confidence in one's own self, if self-confidence is not there, then faith in anything else will not be very effective. Therefore, first of all, self-confidence is important. And Shastram also says, leave alone jnanam and moksha. To accomplish moksha and jnanam, one must have first of all self-confidence. Then to accomplish arthakamas, one must have self-confidence. To achieve anything in one's life, one must have self-confidence. So, to accomplish material wealth in life, to accomplish also spiritual, absolute spiritual wealth, to accomplish relative wealth, relative material wealth, absolute spiritual wealth, okay, definitely one must have, first of all, one's faith in oneself, if fearless. So that's what is implied by the word fearlessness. How can one have fearlessness? First of all, the fearlessness, absolute fearlessness is possible only if a person has self-knowledge. Only a jnani is absolutely fearless person. But until jnanam, how can one be fearless? Only if you attain jnanam, you can become absolutely fearless. But unless you are fearless, you cannot attain jnanam. So how can one have fearlessness? So one can be relatively fearless only if a person lives a life of universal values. That's why dharma anushtanena eva abhaya prapti. Only by living a life of dharma, one can have this fearlessness. And when a person attains dharma, attains knowledge later on, becoming qualified for this jnanam, then a person can become absolute fearlessness. So one must be relatively fearless to accomplish absolute fearlessness. And how can one live a life of dharma? So one must be repeatedly exposed to the teaching where dharma is emphasized again and again and again and again. Okay, one must, to have absolute fearlessness, one must have jnanam. To have jnanam, one must be relatively fearless. In order to be relatively fearless, one must live a life of dharma consciously. To live a life of dharma consciously, one must be exposed to the teaching where dharma is repeatedly emphasized. It is not easy at all to live a life of dharma. Therefore, one, the shastra study, being exposed to the teaching, the shastra, will enable a person to understand repeatedly the importance of dharma. Then the more the person understands the importance of dharma, the more a person makes efforts to live a life of dharma, effortlessly he'll become highly self-confident. Self-confidence, even if you cannot buy it in a shop. Self-confidence will come only if you consciously live a life of dharma and knowing the value of dharma, for which one must be exposed to the teaching repeatedly. That's why all our Puranic stories, everything, they always emphasize dharma. How people of Hanumanji showed for everything. Jnanam, Vairag, for everything Hanumanji showed. Courage and confidence comes if there's commitment to Bhagavan, commitment to dharma. Otherwise, no, commitment to dharma. Therefore, abhayam, we can say that is abhayam. So one must have the strength not to transgress the value, not to compromise with dharma any context, in any situation. Even that itself is expression of what? Fearlessness. So please make it a point. That's why dharma is emphasized everywhere. There's no way of being self-confident, having faith in oneself. Okay, without undermining others' views, to have faith in one's own self, be self-confident, to be relatively fearless, one has to commit oneself to live a life of dharma, for which one must be repeatedly exposed to the teaching to know the value of dharma. Okay, next. Sattva samshuddhihi. Once this fearlessness born of one's commitment to live a life of dharma is there, then irrespective of whether a person owns something, does not own something, but the person is educated or uneducated, the person has money or does not have the money, the person knows the value of dharma, and if he can comfortably live a life of dharma, is coming to live a life of dharma, he will be tremendously confident, a fearless person. Then he can become a real accomplisher in life. Irrespective of what he wants, what he possesses, what he does not possess. Even as a pauper on the roadside, even as a beggar on the roadside, if he knows the value of dharma, is committed to live a life of dharma, that dharma will bless him with tremendous, you know, degree of self-confidence and fearlessness, which will enable him later on to accomplish jnanam, and which will be the greatest blessing. There's no greater achievement than discovering fearlessness being one's own nature. Okay. Next, what is the next virtue of a person of Daivi Sampat? Sattvasam Shuddhihi. Sattvam is Chittam. Chittam Antahkaranam Manaha is what Sattva is. Sattvam. Samshuddhihi purity. So, mental purity, mental purification means what? It is very natural for the mind to entertain all forms of thoughts. Pleasant thoughts, unpleasant thoughts, desirable thoughts, undesirable thoughts. It is possible for us to entertain all forms of thoughts. And then thoughts, we are not creating the thoughts. Thoughts are not created by us. Thoughts rise on their own naturally. Whatever is there in subconscious, okay, what is in subconscious alone will surface. So whatever thoughts surface from our subconscious, and those thoughts may not be good for the emotional health and may be good for emotional health. Some thoughts which rise of the, from the mind itself, the thoughts which rise from subconscious themselves are not good for mental health. Some thoughts are okay for our health. Which means, just as what we eat, sometimes the food we eat agrees with the system, sometimes does not agree with the system. Some create ill health, some contribute for good health. Similarly, our own thoughts also may be, you know, toxin creating, or maybe good for the mind, mental well-being. So what are those thoughts? We call them emotions. First of all, kamaha, krodhaha, lobaha, mohaha, madaha, matsaryam, jealousy, dveshaha, hatred. Already we have said, talk about the fear. Fear, naturally fear is natural. Apart from that, fear, anxiety, greed, anger, likes and dislikes. When you say kamaha, kamaha should be taken as ragadveshas. Likes and dislikes. Greed, jealousy, hatred, fear, anxiety. All these are very naturally rising phenomena in him of thoughts. And the more these thoughts are entertained in the mind, then naturally these emotions contribute for erosion. The more these thoughts are entertained, not only they contribute for erosion, they convert the mind into a weak mind. Therefore, not being free from the hold of all these thoughts, being free from the hold of impurities, being free from the hold of impurities is said to be what? Having mental purification. Sattva Samshuddhi. Again the question comes, how can I have Sattva Samshuddhi? How can I manage these emotions? Especially we have seen fear. Now, how can I free myself from the hold of these uncontrollable, okay, non-preventable, naturally rising thoughts, thought modifications, likes and dislikes, jealousy, hatred, fear, anxiety, etc. How can I free myself? Again, Shastram says, this Chitta Shuddhi, Sattva Samshuddhi does not happen overnight. All of us have certain degree of impurity. All the human beings have naturally impurities, impure mind. So having impure mind is not sin. It's natural. It's not a crime. Having impure mind is not a crime. But definitely, we must make all possible efforts to have pure mind. We have to take care of the mental impurities. How can you free yourself from mental impurities? Again, Shastram says, no, only in jnanam, absolute mental purification is possible. Unless and until you resolve the fundamental problem of sense of smallness centered on I, in the wake of knowledge of what you are, there's no way of resolving the mental impurities for good. In the wake of the jnanam, only in jnanam, one can have absolute purity. That's why it is said, nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. There's nothing which is as purifying as jnanam. Jnanam does not come and clean anything. In the wake of jnanam, all impurities will resolve on their own. The question is, how can I attain jnanam unless I have a certain degree of purification? That is why Shastram repeatedly, without feeling tired, Shastram repeats, live a life of karma yoga. Living a life of karma yoga, which is dharma governed life, is the only discipline following which one can manage one's emotions. One can become relatively pure. If a person is endowed with absolute purity in the wake of the jnanam, he is the most blessed person, the jnani. Otherwise, if a person successfully lived a life of karma yoga and he has got this relative mental purity, and he is endowed with the daivi sampat. Okay? Sattva samshuddhihi means freeing oneself from the hold of all impure mental impurities in terms of unhealthy thoughts, thereby being able to entertain only healthy thoughts. That's why again, living a life of karma yoga means commitment to Bhagavan, commitment to dharma, commitment to purushar moksha, commitment to jnanam. Then living a life enjoined by the Shastram will enable a person have sattva samshuddhi. Okay. Then next is jnana yoga vyavasthitihi. It's important lesson, so I'm repeating. Jnana yoga vyavasthitihi. See, jnana yoga vyavasthitihi is given here as the third virtue in this Bhagavan's enumeration of the list of virtues. See, having purushartha nischayaha is very important. Having the purushartha nischayaha means being definite about one's ultimate goal, being definite about the purpose of living this human life. See, one should not have any doubt at all. What is this human life lived for ultimately, absolutely? What is that I must accomplish ultimately, absolutely by living this life as a human being? We do so many things. Every day, get up in the morning, work, earn money, look after family, do our duties to parents and children and society and fellow beings, and also contribute for social well-being. All this we've been doing so busy. In between, we also have some entertainments, enjoy some pleasures. We have our programs and so many things. We organize this, we organize that. So much we've been doing. Ultimately, one day we'll all kick our buckets and go away. Nobody is going to be here permanently and have the same body. No. There is a day we all have to. One day, Bhagavan, the day, different days, but we all have to quit this body and go away. Means, what is that? And before one leaves this physical body, what is that one is expected to, one should ultimately accomplish in life. So what is this human life lived for ultimately? That must be very clear. And not only that, once the goal, ultimate goal, the purpose of, the definiteness of the purpose of living this life is there, then one must also know, then the way of life one should strictly follow in order to accomplish the ultimate goal. What is the way of life I should follow? I should live. The Shastra ordained life, the life ordained by the Shastram, I should strictly follow in order to prepare my mind for ultimately attaining Jnanam, which itself is my ultimate goal, Moksha. Therefore, knowledge of the truth, Moksha, is already there, but it is different on the knowledge. And the knowledge does not, knowledge does not happen easily, effortlessly, on by itself. If knowledge could have happened by effortlessly, naturally, it would have happened already. Why should we be, why should we remain ignorant? Okay. Many things happen effortlessly. Old age happens naturally. Means the physical body, the changes happening on the part of physical body happen naturally. We don't need to work very hard to put on weight. Eat a lot if you put on weight. You have to become thin is very difficult. So, the natural changes happening on the part of body, it does not involve efforts. Effortlessly, we keep all sixfold modifications happen. Growth happens, metamorphosis happen, old age happens, decay happens. All these things happen. But knowledge involves effort, a quality time. Knowledge requires quality time and quantity. The quantity time also. The quantity of time, quality of time is required for accomplishment of, with the knowledge of material sciences also. What about the spiritual knowledge? Definitely it needs. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi. Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi. Jnana Yoga is a discipline. Jnana Yoga is a discipline. The discipline involving three steps. Shravanam, Mananam, and Nidhyasana. Listening to the unfoldment of the subject matter of the Shastram systematically for length of time is Shravanam. With the patience, repeatedly one must listen to the unfoldment of subject matter of the Shastram systematically, regularly for length of time. And whatever has been heard should not be forgotten, should be remembered, and thereby one must see whether one has doubts in what one has understood. If you have understood, then you, if you have doubt, you must see whether you have doubts in it. If you have not understood, until understanding takes place, one must patiently, one must repeatedly listen again and again and again and listen. It will, you will understand one day or the other. When understanding happens, then doubts must be resolved, for which one must repeatedly reflect upon what has been heard and understand one's, understand the teaching in the, with reference to all other different people of different views also. Thereby one must have firm understanding, but one must do mananam. That's not enough. And even if a person has firm understanding, one must make somehow repeatedly dwell upon one's clear understanding to assimilate it, to ascertain it, that one will never forget it, that knowledge will always be handy to handle, to take care of the external situations. So one, going through this discipline of Jnana Yoga implies going through the discipline, the three steps, Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. So if a person is given the discipline of contemplation after having clear knowledge through Shravanam and Mananam, the person must be able to internalize the teaching. If a person is capable of internalizing the teaching, then that person who is capable of internalizing the teaching will not have any disparity between one's life and one's understanding. So contemplation will help a person internalize the teaching, that the person will not have any disparity between one's life and one's understanding. So I am what I have understood. My understanding does not differ from what I am. I do not differ from what I have understood. So not having any disparity between one's own self and one's understanding is the outcome of internalizing the teaching through contemplation. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Vyavasthitihi is important. Sthitihi, avasthitihi, vyavasthitihi. Vyavasthitihi means nishtha. Vyavasthitihi means nishtha. Nishtha means commitment. So, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi means commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, thereby being firm in following the discipline of Jnana Yoga, thereby following the steps involved in Jnana Yoga with the total commitment and Shraddha, being given to the discipline of Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. I need not go and ask, should I attend the classes? Is Shravanam important? Is Mananam important? Is Shravanam itself enough? Should I go for it? Why can't I simply meditate? All these questions should not arise. I understand Jnana Yoga is the discipline prescribed by the Shastram for the attainment of Jnanam. And this Jnana Yoga, the discipline will be effective, will enable me attain the Jnanam only if I'm mentally prepared. So for which one must have already gone through Karma Yoga, one must have lived a life of Karma Yoga, or one must be strictly living a life of Karma Yoga. Then with the commitment to Dharma, living a life of Karma Yoga, your person is given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga also. In due course of time, Shravanam and Mananam will be possible for him to do Shravanam and Mananam. Then as a result of living a life of Karma Yoga, if a person has been contemplative disposition of the mind, he can contemplate upon the teaching, thereby he can internalize the teaching, and the internalizing the teaching will bless him with absence of disparity, that there will not be disparity between his understanding and his own life. Okay? Therefore, one must, the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga is Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi. In total commitment to the discipline of Jnana Yoga. If a person has Shraddha, then that is the next virtue. Okay. Now, please understand the different words and different contexts here. Exactly, understand exactly how Bhagavan, what Bhagavan implies here. All these explanations are based on Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary only, because without commentary, we cannot just give any meaning as we want. Especially Water Puja Swamiji has unfolded and the taught based on the Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, and we make it very clear here. Now, Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhihi Jnana Yoga Vivasthitihi Danam. Next is Danam. Danam means the having the habit of sharing whatever I have and being able to be charitable. Being able to be charitable, being able to share what I have, what I possess, also implies a person's growth and maturity. Otherwise, it is not that easy to give. Whatever I possess, I want, I can use them for my own comfortable life, nothing wrong. But anything excess I have, or at least some part of what I own, I must be able to give it to people and other beings who are in need of it. This is Danam. The next is Damaha. Damaha is Indriyanam Nigraha, which you have learned in the Tattvabodha class. Indriyanam Nigraha is Damaha. Indriyanam Nigraha. Nigraha literally means control. But Pooja Swamiji always preferred the word mastery in the place of control. So having mastery over sense organs is Damaha. How can we have mastery over sense organs? Having mastery over sense organs should not be mistaken for controlling them or suppressing them. Suppressing, controlling sense organs is not having mastery over sense organs. Shastram does not support the idea or encourage suppressing the sense organs. If we suppress, the more we suppress our sense organs, more will there be an oppression. And the more we suppress, the more we oppress, and we'll also become frustrated, we'll also become depressed and dejected. Okay, the more we try to control our sense organs, suppress our sense organs, helplessly, with the more we're oppressing our sense organs, the more we suppress and oppress, the more we will become dejected, depressed, and frustrated. Therefore, Shastram does not support the idea of controlling sense organs. But Shastram repeatedly emphasizes that one must have mastery over one's sense organs. Damaha. Which means, what do we mean by saying having mastery over our sense organs? Having mastery over sense organs is that we ourselves take the responsibility of directing our sense organs. Means we ourselves voluntarily, responsibly direct our sense organs. And we can voluntarily, responsibly direct our sense organs only if we have conviction. Only if you have conviction. So with conviction that I must involve myself in only things which will bring good for me. I should not involve myself in things which is not good for me. So I must be convinced of what is good for me, what is bad for me, what is appropriate for me, what is inappropriate for me. See, conviction, I must be convinced. Why we do not have mastery over sense organs? Because we are not convinced of what is good for us, what is bad for us. So Shastram says, being able to responsibly, voluntarily direct one's own sense organs with one's own conviction of what is good or bad is said to be Dhamaha. It means if my absolute goal is moksha and jnanam, and for jnanam I must become mentally prepared. I must be given to the discipline of jnana yoga. And even for the jnana yoga to become effective, I must be mentally prepared. And there must be growth. There must be emotional maturity on my part. And for my emotional well-being, intellectual sharpness I require. I must be firm. I must decide what is definitely appropriate for me, what is definitely good for me, for my own emotional well-being, intellectual sharpness, for my spiritual development. And also I must decide what definitely is not appropriate for me, what is not good for me also. And once I make a decision of what is good for me, good for my development, growth, what is not good for my well-being, and I must be convinced of my decision, then what happened? Then I can, only if I have the strength of my conviction, I can turn myself away from, means, I will be able to turn my sense organs away from things which are not good for me. Sense objects. Sense organs, poor sense organs, they can just be with any sense objects. I must be capable of turning away my sense organs from the objects which are not good for me, good for my well-being, good for my spiritual growth. And this capacity to turn away my sense organs from sense objects which are not good for my well-being, my spiritual growth alone is said to be mastery over sense organs. So, I do not take my sense organs away from sense objects just because what other people think of me. I do not do anything for others' sake. Whatever others think of me, I do not care. I myself am convinced of what is appropriate, what is inappropriate. I myself make a decision. I decide for myself. Then I know what is good for me, what is bad for me. Therefore, I am able to, with my own conviction, I am able to turn my sense organs away from sense objects which are not appropriate, good for me. Then that is said to be mastery. If we do it for the sake of pleasing others, in front of others. Sometimes people bring simple, I give simple example, one example. I give hundreds of examples, but I don't want to bore you with examples. Because suppose you're diabetic. The simple reason. It's not for spiritual well-being, for physical well-being. Without physical health, you can't achieve anything in life. Even material ends cannot be accomplished unless you take care of your physical well-being. You are a diabetic. Somebody brings nice gulab jamuns. And you love gulab jamuns. And you don't take what others think. Others know that I'm a diabetic. So I don't want to take it. They will talk back afterwards. So I don't want to take it. So you don't avoid taking gulab jamun just because others are there. But you yourself are convinced you should not take it because it's not good for you. It's not good for your health. The non-diabetic person is eating 5-10. But still you bless that person, you move away. Not because of others, but you yourself decide. You know, even other person tells you, take one at least, doesn't matter, one day. But you say strictly no. Because of your conviction. You take a. This is what is said to be mastery. Okay. Having the capacity to take one's sense organs away from sense objects. With the strength of conviction one has. A result of one's own decision. Of what is good and what is bad for one. It's called tamaha. Mastery over one's sense organs. Then, we have yajnaha. What is yajnaha? Next is yajnaha. Yajnaha is also derived from the root yaj. Yagaha is a masculine noun. Yajnaha is a masculine noun. Yajanam is a neuter noun. So, yajnaha. So Bhagavan beautifully enumerates the list of virtues of a person of divine wealth. So yajnaha means puja, pujanam, worshipping. And whom should we worship? Of course, Bhagavan is the only object of worship for us. Worshipping means being thankful. Worshipping is being thankful. Whom should we be thankful? We must be thankful to Bhagavan and we must be politely thankful to any human being who is helpful for us. And not being thankful to Bhagavan implies being thankful to all the natural phenomena which form part of this creation. Being thankful to all living beings, being thankful to all non-living things, being thankful to all seasons, being thankful to everything in the society, in the universe, is being thankful to Bhagavan. And in order to express one's thankfulness, there is an act. It's a symbolic act of expressing one's thankfulness to Bhagavan in the form of the whole of the universe. Acknowledging their contribution for our wellness is worship. And the word yajnaha means worship of Bhagavan. Yajati worships. Yajate worships. Yajamanaha worshipper. And here, worship also involves different types. If you worship regularly in the form of ceremonies, you worship regularly in the form of ceremonies, This is also a form of worship. We perform pujas. We set an altar at home and perform pujas, and we offer naivedyam and we do arati. That's also puja. And pujas are performed in the temples also. And especially some yajnas, the fire rituals, otherwise said to be homaha, havanam, is also performed at home. Some are performed in the temples also. So performance of big pujas and havans, etc., form the rituals involving ceremonies. And these rituals involving ceremonies form the formal worship of Bhagavan. This is worship, one form of worship. This is an act of worshipping. But another type of worship is not, it does not involve ceremonies, does not involve rituals. Another form of worship does not involve ceremonies and worship, rituals. But other form of worship is nothing but converting everything we do into a worship. Converting action into worship is a second form of worship. Are the act of worshipping involving ceremonies and rituals, pujas, is what? A form of worship. Converting other activities into act of worshipping is different. Whereas converting actions into worship is second form of worship. Second type of worship. So how can we convert work into worship? So yajnaha means the person has the amazing virtue of worshipping Bhagavan. Regularly he worships Bhagavan. He is given to Panchamahayag. He worships Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena, devatas. He worships Deva Yajnaha, every day lights the lamp and offers pranams to Bhagavan, expresses his thankfulness to Bhagavan for all that he is blessed with. The person has the virtue of worshipping Bhagavan. And he regularly does his Pitru, worships Bhagavan in the form of ancestors, Pitru Yajna. He worships Bhagavan in the form of all other living beings, Bhuta Yajna. He worships Bhagavan in the form of Shastram, by studying the Shastram. So he is involved in Rishi Yajna, Brahma Yajna. And he is also worships Bhagavan in the form of fellow human beings by doing whatever is possible on his part. That is different. It's a work worship. And apart from that, the person who lives a life of karma yoga converts all his actions into worship. When do all one's actions become worship? Only if a person has purushartha nischeha. The moksha is the ultimate goal of a human life. If a person has moksha as his ultimate goal, thereby, if a person is committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, thereby the person is committed to Bhagavan, and having jnanam, Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, when a person performs all his duties, all his activities in conformity with dharma, all his actions become offered to Bhagavan. So all the actions which become offered to Bhagavan with the purushartha nischaya become yajna, become worship. So with an entertaining an attitude of offering all one's actions to Bhagavan, I am from morning, from the time I open my eyes until I close my eyes to fall asleep, whatever I do physically, kayena, vacha, manasa, indriyaihi, whatever I do physically, mentally, orally, sensorily, intellectually, all that I need to do, I am doing only to prepare my mind, to have my antakarna shuddhi, to install Bhagavan there. Okay? To have the vision of Bhagavan in my own mind, to have the adequate purification, I am doing whatever I am doing. With this attitude, a person performs all his actions. He performs actions with an attitude of offering for everything as an offering to Bhagavan. Then such an action becomes worship. For that person, work becomes worship. There's never a time the person does not worship. He gets up, he walks, walking is pradakshinam of Bhagavan. He speaks, that is glorification of Bhagavan. He eats, that is naivedyam for Bhagavan. So whatever the person becomes, it's only a worship of Bhagavan. If everything and anything I do should become worship, then I must have the attitude of offering everything to Bhagavan. That is, everything must be done with Ishwararpana Buddhi. And everything becomes offered to Bhagavan only if I have Purusharthan Ischeha and I'm committed to the pursuit of Jnanam, and thereby I'm committed to have Antakarna Shuddhi. Antakarna Shuddhi becomes my goal. Therefore, for obtaining Jnanam, therefore everything I'm doing consciously in conformity with Dharma, with an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan, then sitting becomes worship, getting up becomes worship, brushing becomes worship, bathing becomes worship, every karma becomes worship. Okay? This is the person who lives a life karma yoga, who converts his action, performs his actions with Ishwararpana Buddhi, thereby who has the attitude of offering everything to Bhagavan, converts his actions into worship. And such a person is said to have the virtue of yajna. That's why kayena vacha manasendriyai dva buddhyatmana va prakrute svabhavat karomi yajyat sakalam parasmai narayana eti samarpayami. I think I'll stop here. We'll continue next class. And this Daivi Sampad, Daiva Sampad Vibhaga Yoga, I want all of you to have thorough knowledge, because it's like a summary, it's a gist of what you learned from the beginning. So these chapters, we don't need to go back and see what we have already learned on the chapters. Everything will be repeated and then classified, and then you will become a thorough knowledge of the whole Gita. That's why I'm slow. Any questions? Sometimes it may sound repetitive, but it's okay, but still it's good for all of us. Isn't it? How Bhagavan presents the same teaching in different ways. So Swadhyaya has the next virtue. We'll see next class. Okay. Now we'll be faster. I was slow. I will be faster hereafter. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.